The Lord has opened up to me, and as I have been sharing, several aspects of faith. And because faith is such a huge topic, it deserves a number of looks and a number of different directions and a great, much greater depth than I can possibly give it, but the Lord gives it. And we are blessed by the Lord. We do thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have, that we are together here. And Lord, we ask that you would open your word to us. And Lord, open our eyes to see what you have done, what you are doing. And Lord, your power as it is displayed in your people, through your people. And Lord, that we are able to be in your will, according to your purpose, Lord, we are doing that which you would have us do. We can walk in your ways because you have told us that we can. And Lord, we want to believe. Help us in your precious name. Amen. Been sharing about faith and, just again to, I know you don't need reminding, but I'm going to remind you anyway. Chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Much has been said, and I've said much about these things, and faith. Well, I want to talk about degrees of faith. Here's the thing. I believe the Lord has put this on my heart for me and to share with you, because faith, I believe, is often so misunderstood that it becomes bondage. If I don't have enough faith, things won't happen. There's guilt associated with that. And that's painful. That is distressing. You know, I need to. I've got to. If I had faith, I would. Well, I think that's a misunderstanding. I believe it's a misunderstanding of what faith is about. That the Lord is the author of faith and the perfecter of faith. It is not something that we possess without him. It is not something that we can acquire without him. And he wants us to have it. So he leads us into it. He shows us the way. And I spoke about where it comes from. It comes from the testimony of Jesus that we see, that the woman who was healed from the hemorrhage of, was it 13 years? Is that, maybe I'm forgetting. Anyway, for years she had suffered with a hemorrhage. And she came and touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus, not even knowing she was there, she was healed. And he told her, your faith has made you well. She had seen him. She had heard of him. She had heard the testimony of who he was and what he was doing, and she believed. She had the assurance that he could and would heal her. And she was right. She walked in that faith. Well, that's important to our understanding. And the Lord wants us to understand. And as it says in chapter 12. He not only is the author of faith, he is the perfecter of faith, the completer of faith. He helps us to walk by faith, to realize and to embrace him and to trust him. Today, I'd like to continue with, I can find my notes here. Eventually, not today, I can't believe it, but the Lord has opened up to me understanding in James, and that has always troubled me. So I look forward to the opportunity to share that, but not today. I want to talk about faith, and I want to talk about faith as the Lord spoke about it in the Gospels. In the same chapter, I had mentioned last week in talking about the testimony that the testimony can be rejected. And people can believe in things that aren't true, that aren't of the Lord. I mentioned about the demon-possessed man and that the Lord used him as a testimony of who he was and what he was able to do. And he healed this man. He took out the demons that were in him. But the people rejected the hand of God, the sign, the miracle that he did. That the Lord did, and that the man wanted to go with Jesus, rightfully so. And the Lord said, no, I want you to go to your people and tell them of what the Lord has done for you. And he did. That was an act of faith. He believed in what the Lord had done for him. He believed that he was the Messiah. And that if he went forward, the Lord would give him the power to speak. And he was effective. Well, the Lord, in a few places, the Lord says some things. If you would like to turn, or if you will listen, Matthew chapter 8. This is right after the Sermon on the Mount. And the Lord is ministering to the people. And it begins, and behold, a leper came to him and bowed down to him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And stretching out his hand, the Lord's hand, he touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy left him. That was an act of faith. That leper, that man, came to the Lord, believing that he could heal him. And he expressed his faith, said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And so he did. That's an act of faith. I want to go on from there. In verse 4 he says, I don't need to read that. And he entered into, verse 5, when he entered into Capernaum, a centurion came to him, entreating him, and saying, Sir, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering great pain. And he, the Lord Jesus, said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not qualified for you to come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled, and said to those who were following, "Truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel." And the scripture goes on. I'm going to stop there, though, because this man expressed great faith. The Lord identified this as great faith. Now, I believe that's true. I understand that. I can see that as great faith because he was believing, and he was believing that the Lord didn't need to perform like others do. He didn't have to go and see this servant. He was willing. It seems, from the way the scripture reads, he was willing to go. But the centurion said, "Lord, what he said was, you have all authority. I know it. I see it. I sense it. I believe that you have the authority to heal him. You don't have to come to my house. I'm not worthy." It hadn't been revealed to him that his sins would be all forgiven, that he would become worthy, but he believed Jesus. He believed the testimony that he had heard and seen. We don't know what it was exactly that he had heard and seen, but we certainly know that he didn't have to bow to Jesus. He was a centurion, a representative of Rome. He had authority, he had power, and he knew it. And he could use it. And he recognized it and believed that the Lord Jesus could heal his servant. And there was no hesitation in his words. There was no hesitation. He was a man under authority. He knew authority. And that is the basis of our faith, that Jesus, that we believe, that we have the assurance. It's not that you have this thing. It's not like you have a secret cloth or a secret magic wand or something that is in your possession and you can whack it onto things and they'll come true. He believed in the one who had authority to command healing. Just as talked about last week, who command demons to come out. He had the authority because he was God. And the centurion knew it. Great faith. Great faith. All right, further on in the chapter, several other ministry opportunities, things had happened, and down in verse 23 of chapter 8, "And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm in the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he himself was asleep." This is a familiar story to us, and it's twice mentioned in the Gospels. "Great storm in the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he himself was asleep. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Save us, Lord, we are perishing.' And he said to them, 'Why are you timid, you men of little faith?' Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. And the men marveled, saying, 'What kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" Jesus says they have little faith. And I don't want to create an argument, but I'd like for you to consider that. Well, I'm going to talk about that again. Let me hold that thought for a moment. "Why are you timid, men of little faith?" he arose and he displayed his power and he added to his testimony before these men. And surely they would share this as it is written in the Word. There's been a lot said about this, and I want to go on. I want to go to Luke chapter 17, because I think, again, I really want us to be freed from faith guilt or lack of faith guilt. There definitely is little faith. There is great faith. The Lord says so. Luke chapter 17. Again, another familiar verse to us, or familiar passage, beginning in verse 3. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times, saying, I repent, forgive him. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. I'm going to stop there. Faith guilt. I don't know. I don't want to coin a phrase here and cause a problem. But if you had faith, well, let me back up a second in this verse. This passage, this statement about the mustard seed came about because the disciples were struggling, and I believe in another place, Peter asked this is attributed this question: if he sins against me seven times, even as many as seven times, should I forgive him? And the Lord says, without hesitation, forgive him 70 times seven. And of course, we take that. Well, that's 490, isn't it? No, it's forever. The Lord's not saying you just need a bigger number. He's saying forgive him because I forgive him. Forgive him because I forgive you. And they say, and you know, I don't know what they understood from this entirely. But the apostles ask him, they say to him when after he said this, they are shocked, I guess, or maybe not shocked as much as they are realizing their inadequacy. I'd like to think that. And eventually they would, for sure. And maybe right here they do. Increase our faith. And the Lord assures them. I don't think he's rebuking them. I think he is assuring them. If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Of course, in another passage it says, you say to this mountain, be moved, and it would move. Now, there are no accounts that I'm aware of in the Scripture of mountains being moved or of mulberry trees being cast into the sea, or any tree of any description. Why would the Lord say this? Is he's not creating a hurdle for us to jump, an obstacle for us to get over, that you've got to have faith, even a tiny bit of faith, you'll be able to do these things. I don't think that's the point that he's making here. The point is about faith. Faith, what's a mustard seed? You know, the Scripture tells us it's the smallest of all seeds. The Lord was not trying to put a micrometer on how big a piece of faith has to be to accomplish what the Lord wants done. It is, in fact, any faith in the Lord Jesus is able to do what he desires to do through it. He, the centurion, saw that. He has the authority to tell, to give us the power and to be the power that could throw a mulberry tree into the sea, or to move a mountain, or to heal the sick, or to make the blind see, and the deaf hear, and the mute to talk, to speak, the paralyzed to walk. I want to go back to our struggling brothers. There they are in the boat. Did they understand the authority of the Lord? I don't know. I suggest if you're interested, you ask the Lord. He wants us to know. He wants us to know things. But they did have a little faith, didn't they? They came to him. He was there in the boat. He was asleep. He was at rest. He was at peace. This storm was not of concern to him. It wasn't that he was just so tired he could sleep through it. It was not of concern, because he knows he has the authority to command the wind and the waves to stop, to walk on the water if he so desires, to encourage, to speak to Elijah, pour water on the sacrifice until it ponds up, and I will take it by fire. He is able. And they came to him, but they came to him in fear. Well, I'd like to suggest what's important is it doesn't matter how afraid they were, they came to him. Yes, at some point they would grow to a place where fire and the sea would not concern them. But that is the perfecting, the Lord perfecting faith. That will happen. That will come. But right here he's perfecting faith, and he's pointing out to them, you are afraid of things that I have control over. Come to me, and I will take care of them. I may take care of them through you. I may speak a word and they will go away. But I have the power. Believe in me. Have the assurance of things hoped for. That the Lord gives life. That the Lord can save. That the Lord can heal. That the Lord can take this knot-headed 18-year-old boy named Nathan and bring him home to a home that will last forever. That Bradley can overcome his drug addiction. He won't overcome it. The Lord Jesus will overcome it. He has the power to do that. And he is not expecting us to work up the soul power within us that I believe so. I believe, I'm going to believe it. Lots of people do that. Lots of people do that not for things of the world. I believe that God's going to help me to, or not even God, I believe that I can be a millionaire. I believe that I can whatever. You know, that's believing. But it's not, it's the wrong things they're hoping for. What we're hoping for is that the Lord Jesus will rule and reign and live and be seen, and that people will accept the blood, and that we can realize that we are standing on a rock, that we cannot be moved by the things of this world, that the things of the present will not bind us that we have the ability, not the ability, we have the power in Christ Jesus to overcome. He is the great overcomer because he has the power. He is the one. He has the authority to do all things. We can trust him to do all things, to do what is good and perfect for us, for our brothers and sisters, for everyone. He will leave no one. He will, as was said, prayed earlier, he will leave the 99 to go after the one. He wants us all to be in his flock. And it is not about what we bring to the table. It's do we believe? Do we trust him? In John chapter 6, I've read this before, and I think it's important to see it again, because this will lead me into the next time I speak on James. At the end of John, he's fed the multitudes, and he said, "Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures." This is verse 27 of John 6. "But the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for on him the Father, even God, has set his seal." And they said therefore to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." That is our work, to believe. And this is what James is talking about. It says I will get to that. But this is believe that I believe in the Lord Jesus. I believe that he is able, to reach into Nathan's heart and touch him, to reach into my heart and deal with the things that need to be dealt with. And he can remove, and he can bring life, and that we can walk in it. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that we've had to worship you. Lord, you are so wonderful. And Lord, help us to see. Help us not to be bound up by what men tell us. Help us not to be bound up by the things that are seen at the level of earth. Lord, we want to believe and trust in you. We ask you, Lord, to fulfill your heart, fulfill your desire in your body and in your people, in each one. We thank you and praise you, Lord. In your name, amen.